Jema. So there has been a request to speak about something about adolescence. It's a big subject, but let me touch it in a different way, that there are different stages of life, and we can look at these different stages of life as different season. And each season has its own dharma. A farmer knows it. So there is a time when you have to do the toil, labor on the soil. There is a time when you have to make the soil soft. There is a time when you have to sow, and there is a time when you have to reap. I think now we are in the reaping time. April, that's how it is celebrated. So if you start reaping prematurely, impatiently, why it is important to understand these seasons of life, that this concept is uniquely Indian. So what is taught in the West? You want, what is this quick fast food culture? You want things and you want them fast. Now when you do it, when you are not ready, when the soil is not ready, then it's going to create a disaster. So there are seasons. Each season has its own importance. So we can divide them into 25, 25, 25, 25. And we have those four ashramas which are accordingly given. First was Brahmacharya ashram, which is primarily the student life, which is what where adolescence is covered. And then you have the Grihastha ashram, which is the life of the householder. You are married, you have wealth, you have things, property, you are doing a job, all those things. Then you have the Vanaprastha ashram, when you actually begin to contemplate upon the deeper mysteries of life. Why? Because you have seen through, not you have not been disillusioned. This is a very wrong way of putting it, that in past 50 you are disillusioned. A disillusioned man is good for nothing. You have seen through the limits, which is a different thing than being disillusioned. Disillusioned means it's all useless, it's all temporary, it's not transient, let me take to a jungle and only take the name of God. No, that's not what is taught in the great teaching of Indian thought. You have seen, you have worked, you have even wrestled with life, mastered the forces, but you have realized this is not enough. There's a difference between realizing it is not enough and realizing that it is transient and temporary, because then you can might as well say, if it is transient and temporary, why even go through the schooling process? This is how this subtle difference has disturbed and distorted the Indian psyche. We never looked at it like that, this illusionism. Because if it is an illusion, then why you want to put anybody in Grihastha ashram at all? Then you take sannyas. That's how it all started. But Grihastha is a preparation. You go through life, you don't run away, you don't escape. You are preparing for a greater challenge. So Vanaprastha is when you now turn towards something higher. You have had this lower knowledge, this distinction we see in the Upanishads. The lower knowledge and the higher knowledge, in the Isha Upanishad also. Other is that which comes through birth, and other that comes through non-birth. Other is that comes through death, and other is that knowledge which comes through going beyond death. So both have their meaning. Both have to complement each other. So Vanaprastha is about higher seeking, and Moksha Sannyas, which very few were meant to take. Those who are now ready for the final plunge into the divine. What that moksha is, we'll talk about some of the life. But first let us focus on the first season, 25 years, in which adolescence comes. So what are these years meant for? So nowadays we have a very concept which is primarily Western, where it is freedom, individuality, whatever you are doing, you just want to be independent. Okay, be independent, but first be equipped to be independent. Imagine the dangers if I don't even know what this freedom is, how to make my choices, and you are thrown into the world. What is going to happen? That is not the kind of freedom that Indian thought has understood. So first 25 years we have Brahmacharya ashram. Brahmacharya is literally gathering your energies and putting them for a higher purpose. That's what Brahmacharya is about. And that's how when Sri Aurobindo defines education, he says it is educing, that is bringing out that which is best in you and putting it for a highest and noblest purpose. So first you have to bring out the best. What is best in us? Now comes education. What is the task of education? To bring out the best. So what happens during adolescence? Childhood, your best is what your parents have told you or what few things you have discovered in life. Now in adolescence, during transition, all this is sort of undone. It's nature's plan. Why it is being undone? Because maybe there are other better things which are hidden inside. You need not be forever your parent's child, which is good if you understand that you can be better. But it is worse if you take it, well, I am free for all. So this is the deeper sense that when during adolescence, all your formations of childhood, nature breaks it in most children. And at that point of time, you have to discover that which is beyond what your parents have given you. See the difference. So what is it that is independent of the circumstances of my birth? What is it that is independent of the culture and tradition if I am born in? Independent of the religion whose stamp is put on me? Independent of my customs that I am accustomed to? Actually, that is the psychic being. So if you really take that period in the right way, it will take you to that place where parents could not, average parent. That's why we see Nachiketa and Vajrasrava. His father could not understand certain things which Nachiketa, but Nachiketa's rebellion is a higher rebellion. That's what we see in the story of Satyakam Jabali and many other stories. So there is a rebellion during adolescence has a higher, it can open the door to a higher possibility where you want to realize what your parents could not realize, what the society could not realize. And when adolescents take that route, they become pioneers and harbingers of a great change in the community. Or they can take another route. No. Whatever my parents may have taught, that I don't agree. I am now a free bird. I am in the jungle. So you can also become a wild beast. And we must understand this difference. Every time nature breaks an order, like it has done now, dharma se glani, so the old order breaks. Most people unfortunately gravitate toward the lower. Because now there is nothing to restrict you, restrain you. That order has been broken by the divine. But few will take advantage of it and rise beyond their religion, custom, tradition towards a higher spiritual becoming. And I'll give just one example. Adolescent, nowadays all kinds of things are coming. So suddenly one adolescent said, oh, this religion is so good. It's a religion of peace. Why don't we follow that religion? So I said, look here. I asked this child, I said, why do you need a religion at all to understand that human beings should live nicely? As brothers and sisters, do you need a religion at all? Do we really need a religion to teach us? So the person, obviously, what's wrong with religion? Because if you accept the entire thing. You don't only accept brotherhood. You accept also that this brotherhood is only for the believers. You have to accept also many things which are dastardly. You don't need to accept that. So that's a stage when we must analyze, understand, because mind is developing that stage. You should question. That's how Sri Aurobindo says, how will we recover the lost glory of Bharat? He says, through the same process that we lost it. How do you lose it? When you become a blind believer. So what happens when you blindly believe? Your customs will be very nice, very high. But over a period of time, your ability to think, understand, the deeper sense is lost. And when that is lost, only the shell remains. Then God breaks that also. He says, anyways, this shell. Now that shell is giving you a comfort zone. The feeling that I know it all. You don't know it. So divine breaks at that point. Nature breaks all this shell. And so that you can rediscover yourself. But rediscovery should be higher. Not only you are exchanging one quote for another, which is worse. Sometimes people do that. They just change their religion. Why? Because they feel this is cool. And then they are trapped in it. So like that, this is an age when we should question. And nothing wrong in questioning. And question and find the answer. Doesn't matter from where you will find the answer. And if you have a seeking and questioning, you will find the answer. You are never given a question to which the answer is not already ready. All of us who have gone through this stage, I have gone through, I'm sure everybody, you cannot but pass through this stage without ultimately the universe helping you, if you want to call today's language, or God helping you to discover. You'll find a book, you'll find a person, you'll find somebody or the other, or the answer will spring from within. So during this phase of adolescence, think. Don't be afraid of thinking. Because this is the stage, if you don't think, your mind will remain a slave to the vital, because vital energies are going to kickstart in adolescence. All the hormones are also trying to bring in you, because that's the animal part. What happens in animals when they enter so-called adolescence? They don't really go through that, but they are capable of breeding. So all the energies of which draw one animal to another, they are very active. That is the animal. Animals serve only that much, that well, breed, have a child, whatever. Then they die. They don't have any higher purpose. But in human beings, the breeding energies will come. That means sexual things, attraction, they will come. But that's not all. There is so much written about sex education and sex this thing. No, that will come because that's part of our programming. And yes, it's good to know a little bit about these things. But the focus should be that there is so much more that can happen between the age of 10 and 20. Or shall I say between the age of 12 and 25. So much more. If you take up everything, think about it. Don't accept anything as a blind belief. And Sri Aurobindo says that we have a tendency sometimes that we question Manusmriti, but we accept any, I mean, sorry to say, white man syndrome or brown man syndrome or whatever man syndrome. You have, people will often say, you know, Mr. Hayden says so, and say, who is Mr. Hayden? By the way, even the person does not know. Somebody has said, now, you know, there is something circulating on WhatsApp, for example, some Peter Paduka, who, you know, in Meenakshi temple. How does it matter? Hundreds of people, just because one Peter had this experience. See, this tendency we have to get rid of. So Sri Aurobindo says, you have to equally question the European way of life, just as you are questioning your own way of life. Equally question the Islamic way of life. So often, based on facts, at least I searched during my adolescence, searched things and discovered the limitation of every religion, became an agnostic. The mother speaks about it, that she felt that the God of religions is a monster. Why? Because what kind of God will be who is punishing and rewarding, roasting you in hell and giving you carrots just because, you know, you have sung Fatiha in his praise. Obviously not, this is God constructed by the mind, but you have to, there is a real God. Don't go with that, again, communist ideology, because what you see, that is true. What you hear with your ears, that is true. Therefore, there is no God. There is nothing more silly than that. So question, and Sri Aurobindo says, our ancient ancestors, how they reached where they reached. He says, because they were not afraid of swimming through seas of thought toward the ineffable. See, there is a difference. When you say swimming through seas of thought, second is you want to jump in the ineffable. When you swim through seas of thought, then you take everything within and take it like an offering. So when you read the Vedas, they speak about the ninefold thought, the tenfold thought. Thought itself can help us climb to a state where thought drops. Why? Because it is face to face with that of which nothing can be spoken. It says, oh God. And then you tell it, now you be quiet. You have done your job. Good job or bad job. But if you have brought me here. So it's very important during adolescence to develop this capacity of the discerning mind. Discrimination. So people often say that, you know, in India where was individuality? I said, no, but much greater individuality. Indian mind individuality is not what I'll do whatever I feel like doing. That is an animal kind of life. In fact, you're a slave. You're hardly an individual. Indian mind's individuality is I'll think, I'll discern and I'll decide. And it'll take you to dharma. I'll decide whether I should do this or I shouldn't do this. My parents may be non-vegetarian, but I got to decide whether I should make an animal suffer by giving him halal or even jhatka. Is it really a good act? And second thing along with that development of the mind is aesthetic sensibilities. Sense of beauty, not just in environment. Is it really beautiful? And it's the task of educators and parents. I was horrified to hear that in a school in the name of freedom, some children were watching horror videos. It's not that we have, now normally what we do is suppress by coercion. No, don't, that's not the way. Because when you suppress and coerce, then children will find another route. You have to talk to them, appeal to their reason. It's difficult, but it's more complete. Suppression is coercion, and coercion is like putting a thing under burqa. Everything is there. But Educating is about discussing with the child that why do you feel? You decide. You don't be and have to be a non-vegetarian or vegetarian for that matter, or a non-onion eater or non-less, whatever it is. You don't have to do it just because we do it. You decide. You don't have to wear a particular dress just because it's fashion. You decide. I've often talked to adolescents that why are you wearing this kind of dress? It's not about don't wear or wear it. But, and why? So I tell them that look here, there are three conceptions of women. One conception is the conception of the Islamic world. So there, woman is a private property. Only you have a right to see her, deal with her, turn her into a slave or whatever you want. She's a private property. In the Western civilization, she's a public property. Sorry, but that's how it is. All advertisement you will see, a woman with a smiling face, half clad. What is this? I mean, you are on display in a showroom. Mannequins, this culture has come, no? So, in one, she is a private property of the man who owns her. That's how it is. You own her. She has no rights. You have a right to abandon her. She doesn't have a right. So, isn't she a public, private property? And the other is public property. She has a right, all rights, wherever she wants to go, she can go. But in India, the woman is Shakti, Nari, Narayani, Devi. So, we should discuss with children, which of these women you want to be? You make a choice. You want to be a private property, go by all means. Don't stop. If you are happy to be just a piece of land, or if you want to be a public property free for all right, your choice. Or if you want to rise to your own highest teacher, Shakti, Devi, Narayani, then be that. So this is the way you have to deal. Not that, no, don't wear such clothes, don't do this, don't do that. That is not going to help. Appeal to their reason, appeal to their aesthetic sense. What is beautiful? If children learn during adolescence, three things, whether they believe in God or not is for the moment not important. They should believe in truth. What is true? And they should go deep in thought to understand what is truth. Not by appearances. So they must understand that what we see here is appearance. Even matter, material truth, go deep into it. Everything, biology, evolution, go deep into it. You will reach God. See, we are not taught like that in schools. We are following the same copycat system. Okay, you have a chapter on evolution. But what is evolution? Till now, even in Indian schools, we don't teach the Indian idea of evolution. Simply because in the name of science. Somebody recently called Ayurveda pseudoscience. I would say the science we are taught in schools is pseudoscience. And why I'm saying this is because you don't go deep enough. You have to reach that bedrock. You don't explain evolution, anything. You simply say that there is a evolution happening. Fine, but nobody has ever seen anything happening. So you need to understand why this is happening. We don't know. We know the how. So, when you don't go deep enough, then it's a pseudoscience. So, this is how we should teach everything true. Truth is first thing. And that's what we see in Indian thought. These children, Nachiketa, what an ideal. He could see the truth behind his father's motives. And he has the courage to tell him. Truth always brings courage. Lie brings fear. They go together. A person who is truthful is courageous. He is not afraid of social opinions. You want to be free of social opinions? Fine. But then try to live by truth. Then you will be free of social opinions. You are not doing things to show, project a picture, paint an image. Unconsciously people paint an image because they want to look good. Then these very children will want to have a car and have a suit in sweltering heat to come down and project an image. Why do you want to project an image? If you know who you are and what you are, you don't need to project an image. Of course, wear decently. I'm not saying that you go in kachha banyan and say that I'm not projecting an image. That's silly. But equally, you don't have to be somebody. And all people who have realized, actualized themselves, discovered their true individual self, they don't need to project an image. Any kind of. So this is where truth is important. You know the truth of your own being, you will be courageous. If you don't know, you will be afraid. Second thing, apart from truth, good. What is good? always before anything. Take for example gossip. People like to, you know, talk. So ask them, is it going to help you? Is it going to help the person? Even if it is true, forget whether it's true or not. No, it will only sully your mind, create ill will, hurt that person. What is truly good for us? Is failure necessarily bad? Is a loss event necessarily bad? Maybe it will open another door for you towards something better. So this way to understand the conception of good. Good is not just having something outwardly pleasing. We confuse the good for the pleasant. But one of the first lessons that we learn in spiritual life, and even life teaches us, by the way. Okay. People often lament that I didn't marry this person, and then they lament why I married this person. I can tell that person. I can tell you if the situation was reversed, they would still lament. Because they are born to lament. If they married X, they are lamenting, and they are lamenting they didn't marry Y. If they married Y, they would lament why they married Y and didn't marry X. Because they don't, you see, this good idea is good and pleasant are two different things. In Indian thought, we are taught Shreyascha, Preyascha. That which is pleasant is not necessarily good. So this lesson of what is good, good is all that helps you to grow, progress. Progress is good by whatever means. Developing yourself to any extent, your qualities, that is good. Not 99% marks. So this developing yourself, at least this aim, progress, this is good. So then you don't have to bother about competition, non-competition. Wherever you are, if you are wanting to progress, I can tell you, even in a competitive world, you will do well. Because you will progress and you will put your best, and human beings recognize it. But you should want to progress until you want to change. That's a different thing. The atmosphere of a corporate, I'm not going into it. And the third thing is beautiful. Satyam Shivam Sundaram. The true, the good or the auspicious, and the beautiful. And beautiful is all about the world of feelings, sensations, good sensation, bad sensation. We are teaching now good touch and bad touch. But even, and normally it is like somebody you are not married to and you get a bad touch. Why? Even in marriage you can get a bad touch. It may be something very crude. So this idea, see, and we are just following it. And we are transferring it. Why don't we have our own Indian innovation? You may be married and yet you may be very crude with your wife or your husband. And why only good touch and bad touch? What about good speech and bad speech? Freedom of speech. I can be abusive, and the more abusive I am, the more hits. What about speech? So it should be truthful and priya. So much has been talked about speech. Children don't know how to speak. During adolescence, you have to teach them what is beautiful speech. Very beautiful, no? That Hindi thing I'm forgetting, maybe Abhilash can remind me. Aisi vani boliye, man ka apa khoye, apan ko sheetal kare, auran ko sukh de. तल करे और इनको सुख दे हाँ और आपन को सुख दे वट एवर मीन्स मन का आपा खोए लुक एट द वर्ड्स डोंट बी ड्रिवन बाय द ईगो योर ऑपरेटिंग सिस्टम शुड चेंज स्पीकिंग अंडर द रश ऑफ द ईगो इवन इफ यू आर into a spiritual, so-called spiritual discussion like a cult and this thing, rapidly you are discussing, animated discussion. It's not good. Man ka apa khoye. Then what happens when you do that, when you are not speaking under the stress of the ego? Shobindu describes this beautifully in a psychic speech. Aurum ko, it should bring peace, sense of tranquility. Sheetal is tranquility in the person, and it makes you also tranquil. And Shobindu speaks about the 6 points, psychic self-control of speech. So who will teach? This is the age to teach. You don't have to practice spirituality or follow a particular path of yoga to learn these things. How to speak, how to breathe, how to eat, nothing. How to sleep, Why? Because we have this concept of freedom. Do whatever you feel like, that's individuality. That's not individuality, that is bestiality. Or worse, because at least beasts know what to do by instinct. Man doesn't have an instinct. So if he starts following, I go by whatever I feel like spontaneously, he's likely to make things much worse. So this is the age, three things, truth, good, beautiful. Teach it in a secular way or whatever we want to by secular. I don't mean excluding the idea of God, but secular in the true sense that there is something higher, greater, beyond the human consciousness. Move towards that. Call it God, call it by any name, though all these terms have been corrupted. So better, that's why Sri Aurobindo's word divine is so beautiful. Because all these terms have been corrupted. Go towards whatever is good, true, beautiful. If you can pick it up from your religion, fine. If you can pick it up from somewhere else, or if you can develop from inside, fine. That's your unique religion. We all can have our own religion. That's how Swami Vivekananda put it. He said, when will the ideal age of mankind come? When each one of you will have your own religion. Meaning thereby, your contact with the divinity within. You become an expression of the divinity within. So truth, good, beauty, refinement. Refinement of the senses. Refinement of taste, tendency. Mastery of the vital by the mind. Because this is an age when on one side, the vital is bursting beyond its limits. Because we are evolving from the animal. So all the lion, the cat, the tiger, the dinosaur, everything is rushing. That's how animal nature has evolved. Rage and fear, they're all bursting beyond their limits. But also at this point of time, because we are human, reason is also developing. And in the race, if the mind is driven by the vital, then you become an asura. And if the vital is mastered by the mind, then you become a godlike. Then you become truly a human. So our idea of adulthood or maturity is not a cutoff point. 18-year-old, you can do anything you feel like. That's so stupid and silly, and people follow it. No age limit. You decide what is true, good, beautiful. This should be discussed. Not about coercion, suppression. It's about teaching, educating, refining. And the second thing is, you become mature when your mind masters the vital. Vital is there. It will have its own play. But at least the mind tells you, the discerning reason, buddhi tells us that, well, this is to be done, not to be done. Nobody taught us, it's very unfortunate, but at least now we can have those things. And if the child has matured in such a way that he is able to master the vital by the mind, by the reason, by the discernment, then when the time comes, because beyond it is preparing for the higher spiritual and psychic thing, that is something which if the child has it, then he'll become a very beautiful instrument. But even for that, we should at least nourish the psychic and spiritual parts. So we see this again during adolescence, it's almost considered a taboo. Same standard religious format. No, there should be, in whatever culture the child is brought up, teach the truths of that culture. In India, Ramayana, Mahabharata, Gita, it should be taught. Why not? It is our gift of this land. Nobody is saying you should teach this in Russia or teach this in Arab country. No. In Arab country, you should teach the best that Arab world has produced. 1,000 nights. Teach the highest truths of Quran, if you want to put it. Yes, by all means. But in India, there is a wealth which we have and should be taught. Now, this, because unfortunately we don't develop these psychic parts. It's a food for the psychic, for the soul, for the spiritual parts in us. And because it is not done in most of the, during this period for various reasons. Because school, you can do it. You, adolescent won't say in school that, no, I don't want to study this subject. You can't say, I don't want to study physics, I don't want to study, I don't want to study. Then, okay, don't want to study, you stay at home, that's okay. Study with nature, that's okay. But if you come, there should be classes. Nowadays, some places they are introducing as value education. But value education is sounding like a rehash of moral science. Good and bad, do's and don'ts. But when we read these stories, just read Ramayana as a story, leave aside as a spiritual book. And you develop into a wholesome human being. You have an ideal. Nobody asks whether Rama is a Hindu or not. He is an Arya. So what is the ideal of Arya? So all these things during adolescence, so that they, after, by the time they are ready as adults, they are human beings who are not under the sway of the vital. They have not gone into bestiality, but they have developed the human individuality. They have understood what really dharma is. They have grown in truth, which includes honesty and many things. Mothers spoke so much about, children must be taught that truth wins. People often ask me that, where is the proof? I say, all over history it is written. All over history. If you don't see history in a small moment of 300 years, you will see that ultimately truth wins. And in India too, it is so evident. So they should be taught that truth wins. Satyameva Jayate. And don't bring fear. Because fear perverts. Fear is lack of courage. Fear is a lie. Discuss with them. Make them think. So that they become discerning, rational human beings. And lastly, lot of games. Because this vital energy which is developing in the body, unfortunately during adolescence, you want them to only study, study, study. Why? Because now they are approaching 10th standard, 11th standard, 12th standard. And they don't play. So where does all this vital energy, which is more tuned to the animal way of life, what happens to it? So it takes all kinds of perverse turns. Especially in today's world, because you have freedom of the media, freedom of speech, freedom of everything. It's okay. That's one part of it. So this energy is turned very easily towards pornography. They turn very easily towards things because they don't know it. It's just an energy, animal energy, which is towards rage, fear, horror films, fear, sexuality. This is animal part. But this is not all. So how they can be directed? Through sports, best channel, music, art, painting. So through all these means, this energy which is taking its burst will get sublimated. Sexual energy will turn into poetry, music, painting. Aggressive energy will turn towards sports, it'll get directed, channelized. That's how we had the Kshatriya who was learning warrior art of war and warcraft, etc. Because he had energies of aggression. So they were channelized. Learn it. Direct it. Don't become a so-called non-violent, because then what will happen is they will burst out in ways that are very harmful and unhealthy. So this is the dharma of adolescence, is to grow, progress, learn, and most important, self-mastery lessons, brahmacharya ashram. What is dharma? What is true, good, beautiful? And yeah, and if you really graduate through it, meaning thereby 25 years, you have become truly a man or a woman worth what they are, then life, you will know how to make your choices and you will be able to navigate through the rest. We'll talk about the other seasons subsequently. Jai Ma.